League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Who win it now?
Hammered. Left center field. Randy Arozarena, stay hot.
This is shot to center. Garber tagged it back. Line drive, right field, touches down, base hit. Crawford into third, wave it home. Julio throttles down at third base, and Cal Raleigh delivers.
ESPN Radio, 97.5, 92.5. Myself, Brian McDonald, Cam Smith.
Hey.
And Johnny Belmer, who apparently went, Cam, do you notice he went rogue on us?
No.
Playing the Mariners highlights come in. I even put at the top of the rundown, no highlights today, F that. And Johnny, I guess, just decided to go ahead and do his own thing and put in the highlights anyway.
He made me do it last week.
Because I made you put the Rangers highlights
John,
in?
He's his own man.
How bad everything you did here was.
Thank you. Hit that one more time for yourself, Johnny.
John, can't tell you how bad everything you did here was.
Yes,
I don't think so, John.
I think there's one there with a curse in there, too, that we can play at some point.
Yeah.
But I didn't need to hear those highlights.
You know what? The Astros should stop losing on Fridays if they don't want me to play Mariners highlights.
They've done that quite a bit recently, unfortunately. Astros lose 6-1, as you unfortunately heard in the highlights with Johnny going rogue, playing the highlights when the Astros 6-1 lost yesterday. The lead now in the AL West, just four games. But I want to start with, I guess, a call for calm, a call for reason, in that the lead is still four games, right?
It's, correct.
Yeah, mathematically that is correct. It is four games. Like, to me, and I don't know if you agree with me, Cam, and listeners, if you agree or disagree, give us a call or text on the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. But I am not worried yet. I am only worried coming out of the Seattle series if they get swept, and that would take the lead, obviously, from the five it was coming on the All-Star break down to two, considering the Astros' injuries and how anemic the offense has been recently, ever since that Dodgers series, I would be worried if they got swept and the lead was down to two. But let's just say, in the most likely scenario, the Astros lose two out of three. The lead goes from five coming out of the break down to four. I'm not worried.
I am.
Oh, okay. All right.
So a smidge.
A smidge? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, 1-10. 10 is you're saying sell the team or sell everybody because it's over. 1 is you're no concern at all. The World Series champs. Where's your worry?
Well, I mean, I never thought that they were going to go to the World Series.
So. I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to gauge, like you said, a smidge concern. I'm just trying to gauge where your level of concern is.
I'm
like at a 3, 3.5.
I'm not crazy, but I'm a little higher than that. I'd say I'm probably like between a 5 and a 6 right now.
Okay.
And most of that is just because, like you mentioned, their offensive production since the Dodger series has disappeared. They're 4-6 their last 10 games. They're still fighting like the injury bug. So it's just like it seems like everything that they were somehow able to like overcome in the first half of the season is now kind of catching up to them. So that's why I'm a little concerned.
I get that because even though I paint the picture of, okay, you leave the series and you only lose a game in the standings, and your next two series after that are seven games combined against the Diamondbacks and the A's, like that is, I think, a reason for, I mean, the Diamondbacks aren't a terrible team, but they're below, I believe they're below 500.
Well, that's just right around the second easiest remaining, which I guess that's why.
You have the A's coming up. I believe the White Sox are coming up shortly after that. Like, I don't, If the lead in the AL West goes from just 5 games to 4 games coming out of this series because the Astros take one of the next 2 games, I'm really not that worried. I get why people would be concerned because of the injuries stacking up, and we'll get into some of the news on possible returns here in a minute. But like, I'm not worried, even though I do remember the history of this rivalry with the Mariners. Like, it kind of feels a bit hypocritical to say I'm not worried about a 4-game lead in the division, or the Astros holding a 4-game lead, when the Astros were, what, down 10 games to the Mariners, like, in late June last year, and made it up in the blink of an eye. So that feels a bit hypocritical. I know it doesn't make a lot of logical sense for me to say they're not worried, or I'm not worried about a 4-game lead when we saw what happened last year, but I don't know. Maybe it's just a gut feel that until proven otherwise, this Astros franchise figures it out. It doesn't often make sense. There's not often a lot of things you could point to as, okay, I see why they're able to overcome that. Like, there's no reason without Yordan, without Arrigetti, without Christian Javier, without Jeremy Pena for the last few weeks, without Jake Myers for the last, 2 weeks, there's no reason why the Astros should still be 15 games above 500. But they are. And they just seem to do it for, like, every season since 2015.
And like you said, until they prove us that they can't do it, there's no reason to believe that they...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of... Like, it's not rational. I can't point to some, like, logical... Well, actually, this stat says... I can't... There's nothing to point to.
Yeah.
But they just do it. And have done it for a decade.
I will say...
So that's why I'm not so worried.
I think it would be higher, but I think everything that we kind of just talked about, like, I don't think a 5 is, like, outrageous to think that.
No, given the injury concern, I don't think 5. Yeah. I don't think 5 is the, you're like, sky is falling. I wouldn't say. No, you're not that.
No.
But you're just a smidge worried? Just a smidge.
Just a smidge, because like I said, it just seems like they were able to overcome all this sort of stuff, and it just seems like the last, like, 2 weeks, they're kind of, like, coming down back to earth, and it's just like, how long is that going to last? Because all these pieces that we talked about, they're still weeks away from returning.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, most and it's likely. Like, at least two. I don't think anyone's closer than 2 weeks away, so.
And, like, Seattle is kind of doing the opposite. They're healthy, and they're kind of on, like, a little bit of a
But don't upright. You just... Again,
but it's still Seattle. It's like,
yeah,
that's why it's like, it's hard for me to
Seattle's
be like at a
Seattle,
2
right?
or an 8. It's like, that's why I feel like I'm just always at like a 5 when it comes to the Astros, because there's always things that make you worry about them. But at the same time, they find ways to do what they have to do.
Yeah, like at some point, I just assume because of their track record, Seattle's going to pee down their leg.
Oh, for sure.
At some point. Like, yeah. There's no rational... like, obvious stat or trend I can point to prove that, but it's just been their track record. Johnny, what's your level of concern right now?
Well, before I give you that, I just want to say, the Astros were a sure bet to pee down their leg before they became what this Astros team is. I'm not saying I think the Mariners are going to all of a sudden figure it out, but maybe we be a little scared of a team that's winning, baseball games.
Yeah.
And Texas, I mean, another team in this division just won the World Series a couple years ago. I'm just saying. I don't like them either. I'm just saying.
No, I'm just dismissing them.
Yeah. We do a slight bit too much dismissing as Astros fans because
Allow
of the success.
Me,
but
as an Astros fan, Johnny and Cam, to be arrogant beyond reason. Okay? Until they knock us off our... You know what? Damn it. Until they knock us off our throne, the Astros are the kings of this division.
Facts.
The Astros run this division. You want to beat the king, or you want to beat, to quote Ric Flair, if you have the woo ready, please hit it. If you want to beat the man, you got to beat the man.
I Woo! Wish I did. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, thank you.
I like the wrestling promo. True.
Thank you.
I mean, we've been hearing about Seattle for like a decade now.
Yeah.
No, I hear you.
Remember, 2022, like, oh, here they come. Yeah. Here they come. The Astros swept them. Now, I know that game was closer than the average sweep would appear. There was an 18-inning 1-0 game mixed in the bunch. Yordan hit a walk-off in game one. But still, I mean, like, until proven otherwise, the Astros are your daddy. It's cute. You had Luis Castillo on the mound. Jose Altuve can't hit him for his life. I don't know if you guys saw those stats. He had 3 strikeouts last night, 0-for-4. In his career against Luis Castillo, Jose Altuve now 4-for-22 with 10 strikeouts and no extra base hits. So... like, let's just hope we don't have to face Seattle in the playoffs and Jose, because we can just cross Jose Altuve's name. Especially, like, one of those strikeouts he took where Luis Castillo just hit the low inside corner. You know, maybe you could say he should protect that with a 2-strike count, but whatever. But the last strikeout he had against Luis Castillo, where he chased a ball like 2 feet outside the zone. I can't remember if it was a slider or what exactly he threw, but yeah, he at times just, he cannot lay off that pitch, especially from Luis Castillo. But let's get to the good.
Oh, if I may.
Okay, please.
I will say,
before we get to the good,
this next 3-week stretch is going to be crucial because
you have the schedule in front of you?
I do. So
we got Diamondbacks, Athletics,
Washington, Boston, Miami, New York. And it's not the opponents per se. It's the fact that at home this year, unlike previous years, they've been amazing.
Yes, and it's reversed. Yeah.
Away this year, they're basically at 500. And over the next 30 games or 21 games, 14 of them are on the road.
Hmm. So, yeah, I mean, some of those are bad teams, though. Like,
they are bad teams.
Like, is Miami at home? Is Washington home? Where are those games?
So it's Seattle, Arizona away, and then they play the A's in Washington at home, and then they travel to Boston, Miami, and New York.
Yeah, like Miami, okay, it's a road game, but it's Miami.
Miami.
It's Miami.
Right.
Like,
But how many times have we also seen the Astros play down to the
competition? No. I will not accept that. Like, I get what you're saying. But you know what happened to Miami at home earlier this year? Like, a month ago? The freaking Rockies swept them.
Yeah, that's true.
The Rockies, who had like 10 wins on the season in mid-June coming into that series, went into Miami and swept the Marlins. I am not accepting, baseball is baseball, things happen, if the Astros go in and lose that series to the Marlins.
I surely hope not.
No, I mean, we cannot.
I'll have apoplexy if they do that.
Yeah, no excuses are allowed in that series. That, I don't want to say guaranteed or like a must sweep, but you cannot lose that series.
Hey, you can get tickets for $10 for that Miami series.
I bet you can get them for even cheaper.
Hey, you might be able to.
I think if you just put on a fake mustache and a pair of glasses, they'll just let you in.
Oh, like a security guard?
Yeah, well, if you pull like the Bobby Valentine. Remember when Bobby Valentine got kicked out of a game? He put on the Groucho Marx.
Well, yeah, he was already in there, though.
Yeah, nobody got kicked out. He got kicked out, and he went back to the dugout,
right?
No, not the bullpen, the dugout.
Yeah.
I think you could put that on, just sneak right in.
I mean, worth a try. What's the worst that's going to happen?
I mean, you don't have to go to a Marlins game. It feels like a win.
It's a win-win.
It feels like a win. All right, we'll carry over the Astros conversation and get into the one good thing from last night's game, and then also talk about some of the injuries the Astros are dealing with and when we might see guys back like Christian Javier, Yordan Alvarez. That when the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Is the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yes. Here we are. Microphone is now on. Look who's the radio professional in this business. Brian McDonald, that's the guy. Who's got two thumbs and knows how radio works. This guy. All right, Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer here with you on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome back into the bullpen. We're going to 2 o'clock today, of course, in the second hour at 1:30, Mount Rushmore plus one. We'll be talking some Texans and NFL later this hour. But right now, continuing along with the Astros, and let's get into the good from last night, which in a 6-1 loss, there's not a whole lot of good. But the good, Brandon Walter was fantastic again. And you look at the season stats. I mean, last night he was 6 innings, 1 earned run. I think he struck out the side in the 6th inning. And wasn't just striking out the side. Like, it was Julio, like 2 of the 3 guys were Julio Rodriguez and Cal Raleigh, the big dumper. So it wasn't just like, oh, you're striking out 7-8-9. I know, that's a great nickname. If we ever do a Mount Rushmore plus one of nicknames, that might be on the list.
I don't know. I don't think it's a great
nickname.
It could
go both ways, though. You feel me?
The big dumper could go both ways?
Like, it could be like,
he is the switch hitter. See? Huh?
But also,
he is, I mean, no, he's,
it's a, it's a, it's a, it's a, it's a bathroom reference.
Okay, thank you, Cam.
No, what I'm saying is if his career goes down the toilet, he'll still be considered the big dumper.
So the nickname works either way. Okay, I'm with you, Cam. All right, you salvaged that one.
You had to let me just get there.
Yeah, I wasn't sure sure where we were going. I was a little worried there. All right, again, though, the good Brandon Walter. What are we talking about, the big dumper? Brandon Walter, six innings, one earned run last night. Struck out the side in his last inning of the six. His season stats, the ERA is now down to 3.66. The whip is below one, which for a starter is awesome. It's .964, and he's averaging just barely over a strikeout per inning. And that changeup is nasty. He got several guys to swing and miss on that last night. And I'm at the point with Brandon Walter, like, he's a journeyman. I don't know if he's J.P. France, Ronel Blanco. Like, the Astros have had some success with journeymen over the years. Ronel Blanco last year, J.P. Yeah. France 2 years ago.
And it's not just with starters,
but those guys,
too,
released in their system. Like, Brandon Walter was elsewhere. They brought him in and, you know, just out of nowhere, you know, do like the LeBron clap with the smoke, and Brandon Walter appears through the mist. And all of a sudden, he's one of your best three pitchers on the rotation.
It's crazy how, like you mentioned, these journeymen, whether they're like starters or relievers, will come to Houston and almost like revitalize their career for a year.
We didn't even mention like Charlie Moore and Wade Miley.
And then when they leave, it oftentimes reverts back to where they were before the Astros.
Sometimes,
I mean, not so much like Charlie Morton.
Yeah, sometimes. Like you say Kikuchi last year. He was not... It was a very mid pitcher. He came here. He was amazing.
And then he got that big deal.
Yeah.
And now he's doing pretty good, but he's not as good as with the Astros. So it's just, it's a testament to what the pitching staff can do compared to some other staff on this team.
Which is crazy because you're right. But what's crazy, remember when Brent Strom left?
Everyone freaked out.
Oh, my God. Like, the guy that turned around Charlie Morton, the guy that, I don't want to use turnaround Gerrit Cole because he had several really good years in Pittsburgh. But his year most recent to when he came to the Astros from Pittsburgh was a year with an ERA over four. So you could not turn around Gerrit Cole, but maybe helped him get to the best he's pitched in his career.
Well, wasn't he here to like help Keuchel and Colin McHugh?
Yeah. Like, and people lost their mind when Stromy went out to Arizona and like, oh my God, how can the Astros recover? And, J.P. France, Ronel Blanco, now Brandon Walter. Like, all these guys that still keep coming through and doing things they've never done before. But with Brandon Walter, like, it feels risky to say I have a lot of confidence because it's another journeyman. We know the other shoe dropped to J.P. France even before the injury. But I'm now at the point where Brandon Walter, although I don't love his fastball. That fastball only sits 93. He left one. Even though it was top of the zone, he left one, you know, in the zone to Rainey Rosarini, took it deep for his only run allowed of the game. Like, he doesn't have a fastball that's going to really blow anyone away at 93 miles an hour. But the changeup is nasty. His command is great. And I'm at the point now where even when the Astros start to get guys back, cross your fingers, you know, Arrigetti, Christian Javier, I don't think we're going to see Luis Garcia, but we'll see, that I'm to the point where I don't want Brandon Walter to lose his job. If you need to send... If Ryan Gusto needs to go down to AAA or stay in the bullpen, if whatever you do with Colton Gordon, okay. But Brandon Walter, of those three, of the guys they kind of had to rely on to fill the gap with all the injuries, Brandon Walter is the one I want to see stick around.
Agreed, Brian. And let me tell you the reason behind why I agree.
I feel
with
like
you.
A thesis is coming. Like, Cam was ready for this one. Hit me.
The main stat, the K and batted and walks ratio is 15.7.
I know he had two walks coming into last night's game.
Three walks in 47 innings this year. That alone makes me want him to stay. For the fact that even if his stuff is not crazy like electric.
His fastball isn't, yeah.
You're not having to, like McCullers, you're not having to worry about a guy walking a bunch of people and not being able to get out of that situation. And he hasn't really done that to himself this year.
Without looking at Lance's game-by-game page this year, I would bet Lance has at least three games this year walking as many batters in one game as Brandon Walters walked all year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Brandon Walters walked three batters all year. Lance, I guarantee you, without even looking at his game log, looks like you're pulling it up.
I sure am.
I would guess he has at least three games or three walks or more.
Oh,
am I correct?
I take that. He has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Six out of what, 10 starts?
He has nine.
Nine starts.
So he has six games where he's walked three or more people.
In nine starts?
In nine starts. And at the same time, it's not just the three walks, because it's like, okay, if he's giving you seven innings, three walks, psh, but these are games where he's going
four innings, five innings.
Like, again, the most he's pitched this year is six innings.
Yeah, and so, he's done that a couple times, but still. So anyway,
Brad. And he's had three games of four walks. And in all those games, it was less than six innings pitched.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think if I'm looking ahead to kind of my most optimistic hope for the Astros rotation as they finish the season, it would be obviously Hunter and Fromber in some order, your one and two. You get Javier and Arrigetti back, they're your 3-4 in some order, and then Brandon Walter is your five. And if you want to go six-man rotation because Lance, then okay, six. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying I
want Lance in the rotation, but they're paying him, and if he's healthy, he's going to be in the rotation, so six-man rotation.
You almost have to. It's almost like Jose Abreu. Like, you are having to play him because he costs so much money. It's like the same thing we're dealing with Lance.
I mean,
right
they
now.
Eventually cut the cord with Jose, but I don't think they're going to be as quick to cut the cord with Lance because he's what he's meant to the organization, the whole bury me in the H thing. Like, they're not going to pull the plug on him like they did Jose Abreu.
That, and they don't have the luxury of just cutting starting pitchers. Because
not right now, no. Not until they get Javier and Arrigetti back, for sure. Like, I mean, and let's get into some of those guys coming back, because there's been some news. Some of it's a little weird, and I don't quite get it. So let's first go to the starting rotation. This isn't necessarily an injury, but they initially, when they announced the three starters for the Seattle series, listed Brandon Walter Friday, Lance McCullers Saturday, and then Framber Valdez Sunday. And I had this on the rundown at one point, like, hey, actually, I like the decision to push Hunter Brown back, because we saw him pitch in that last game before the All-Star break, and he had two rough starts in a row against Texas and against Cleveland. And in that last start against Texas, there was a portion of the game in the middle innings where his velocity was down. Like, instead of his fastball sitting 97, 98, it was like 93, 94. Like, uh-oh, maybe is he having some arm fatigue? Is he gassed? Like, he's on pace for a 200-inning career, which he's never done. Like, there was a little bit of concern. So when I saw that they pushed him back into the Arizona series, like, okay, that's smart. Like, you have the natural break. He would have been on, like, he pitched Sunday, so he would have been on regular rest to pitch last night. So, buy him, like, three extra days, have him go, the opener of the Arizona series. I think he could use those extra days. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Astros switch it up to, oh, no, Fromber is getting pushed back into the Arizona series, and Hunter Brown is pitching Sunday in Seattle, which he still gets extra rest, but it already made no sense to do, because of the two guys, Fromber's looked better recently compared to Hunter Brown, and like, he pitched on Saturday. So like of the two guys that needed rest, one was showing fatigue. That was Hunter Brown, not Fromber. One guy pitched Saturday, the other pitched Sunday. So Fromber was already coming in with more rest to begin with. So it didn't make sense, if you're going to rest one of these guys, that was Hunter Brown. But that was exactly Joe Espada's explanation. He told Matt Kawahara of the Chronicle. Joe Espada said the initial rotation list, you ready for a lie? Joe Espada said the initial rotation list, Valdez pitching on Sunday, was a typo. And the plan was to give Valdez extra rest and have him pitch in Arizona. For McTaggart, same sort of quote. Espada said Brown was always scheduled to pitch Sunday instead of Valdez, who they're giving a bit extra rest. Now, if it wasn't the Astros, I would probably just like, typo. But it's the Astros, and they lie to us every single week about every injury they have. And they're a typo? How many letters do Brown and Valdez share?
Thank you. I was like, isn't a typo like where you accidentally put like an O instead of an A?
Yes.
Or like a J instead
one letter
of a G?
Off.
Yeah. You mistyped the whole name and didn't see that it said Valdez
and Brown. Unless I'm an idiot, share no letters. Like, there's no way you can start to type in Hunter Brown and get to Fromber. Oh, Brown and Fromber and Valdez. Well, obviously, Fromber does. But there's no way you can start to type Brown and get to Valdez.
Yeah, and then also not see that. Like,
it wasn't like they put it out and then 3 minutes later, like, oh, no, we meant Fromber or Hunter Brown on Sunday. It was like a full 24 hours later.
Yeah.
Like, so if you believe the lie, which I mean, you can't believe this lie. This is absolutely incredible. But if you believe the lie, they somehow typed in a last name that shares no similar letters to the other last name and then didn't catch it for 24 hours. They would have seen it, you know, posted by Metagger, by Kawahara, by Chandler Rome. It's up on the website. It's on their Twitter page. Like, it would have been everywhere, and somehow they don't catch it for 24 hours. I'm not saying something's up.
They're trying to play games with Seattle.
Quit playing games with my heart.
That's
what
Seattle's you can't keep getting away with it.
Thank you, Jesse.
Well, they can.
They can, and they unfortunately they just do. They just do. Like, I'm not going to Joel, because this is Joel's usually the way he goes with this sort of news, but he immediately raised the alarm bells on Fromber, like, oh, does Fromber got something going on? Maybe he's needing extra rest because he's got something going on. I don't want to raise the alarm bells because we have zero information on it. It's just weird. And the Astros are always weird, and I don't understand them.
Yeah.
Like, it makes – if you – just
– Looney Tunes.
Yeah, like, there's so many times where they lie to us when we would have thought nothing of the truth, right? Like, they could have told us the truth, and we would have been fine with it. Or at least we would have understood it and accepted it and moved on. But for some reason, they decide to lie to us, and they just make everything so much worse.
Yeah. They're not very good about
How do you think the Astros would have got away with cheating on their wife at the Coldplay concert? Do you think they would have I think they could have you think they would have handled it worse?
They'd be like, oh, that was AI generated.
That was AI generated. Which, by the way, there's been
that was some, a holographic.
What, Tupac? Tupac
somebody.
If I was the real guy, I would probably say it was AI generated.
Well, there's a lot of AI generated
CEO.
That's true. Good point, Johnny. There's a lot of funny GIFs and memes out there right now, a lot of them AI generated. You see Trump with Hillary Clinton. Johnny showed me the one which I'd seen with Patrick Mahomes and an NFL ref.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many going
there's
around.
There's some great ones out there. There was a Lego one, too.
Oh, really?
Somebody created that one. Like
oh, my actual, first adultery kit.
Like
yes.
A Lego piece. Yeah. If that actually turns into a Lego set.
Well, spoiler alert, it ain't.
Well, it should. That was a good one. That was probably my favorite one.
You buy it? Is there a market? Are you telling Lego there's a market?
Is there not?
Well, there's a lot of people committing adultery out there. So.
And there's a lot of people that get down on Legos. I mean, the Lego store in the Galleria, they could. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you meet up with your mistress, then you put together a Lego
exact
set.
Exactly.
That sounds like a great
weekend.
That's
romantic.
Two other quick notes before we go to break and move on to the Texans and the NFL. So, Yordan Alvarez, you see the update with him? Again, this is more weirdness because, like, 2 days ago, we got the update from Chandler Rome where it was said that the expectation remains that Yordan will play again this season, which when they say will play again this season, that doesn't sound like it's soon, right? That sounds like, well, September. Like, when you phrase it like, well, they will play again this season, because if it was soon, you would say, well, we expect them back soon. Like, the phrasing makes me think September, at least IMO. Continuing the quote, expectation remains that Yordan will play again this season, but there is no guarantee he will be at full strength again, according to Chandler Rome of The Athletic. So that news came out, and everyone was like, ah, crap.
Well, duh, there's never a guarantee with him.
We're not getting Yordan back. Oh, but oh, wait, there's more. Yesterday he hit off a tee, and he's with the team in Seattle. So I don't know. Maybe they're typing up, like, batting practice, and there was a typo. And it was supposed to be Yonder Diaz hitting batting practice.
Ah, yes.
But now it's, you know, so, see, these things happen, Cam.
Apparently
these
so.
These things happen. Typos happen.
Just in Houston. just here.
Just with the Astros.
I think the wording, like, kind of like what you said about the expectation for this season is if by the end of the season, the regular season comes around and they're still in the position that they're in, the expectation is he'll play. But if they start to dwindle in the second half and maybe fall out of, like, first, and they're hovering around, like, 500, I don't think
if
there's no certain that he's even going to be 100%, if you're 500 and you're scrapping to get into the playoffs, why risk it?
Now, that would take a serious skid because they're 15 games over, but I agree with you. Yeah, like, hypothetical. If they were to hit the skids because they can't overcome these injuries, maybe the arms don't come back, you know, whatever. whatever the reason may be, maybe someone else gets hurt, then yeah, like if Jordan's not 100%, why would you play him September if the team had fallen that hard? But I mean, I don't think that will happen. One other real quick note, and then we'll get out. But Christian Javier has he had pitched a game I think it was in Florida a couple of days or last week, but then he also threw three innings yesterday, gave up one run, two hits. So it looks like Javier, of the trio that you're hoping to get back, because I don't really include J.P. France in this, one, because he's a journeyman, too. I just don't really expect him to be talented enough to crack the rotation. But of the three, Javier, Luis Garcia, and Spencer Arrighetti that you would hope to get back, I think Javier we get back first.
I think so, too.
And I think, honestly, I'd like Arrighetti. His second half last year was amazing. But as far as what it can mean for the team, as far as getting the guy back with the most upside, who could mean the most to your team if he hits his upside, it's clearly Christian Javier. So, oh.
You think it's...
I think it's Javier. I think the guy with the most upside is Christian Javier. You disagree? I like Arrighetti. His second half was amazing, but Christian Javier has had longer stretches of pitching at a high level than Arrighetti.
I think I would say that for Javier, I think Arrighetti has a little higher upside, but I think Javier has that trust and that consistency.
A higher floor?
Yeah, to where if I was to have one of them come back, even though I think Arrighetti has the potential to possibly be better, I would rather have Javier back than Arrighetti.
And the reports seem to be that Javier has looked great. Dana talked about it, what he's seen from him in another quote. We don't have time to get into it. But apparently Javier is looking good. So, you know, fingers crossed, you have, you know, Hunter Brown, if he's hopefully doesn't have arm fatigue, Fromber, a healthy Javier back, a healthy Arrighetti back, and Brandon Walter pitching like he's pitching. It's a damn good rotation.
It is.
That's a damn good rotation. All right. Other side of the break, when we get back, we're going to get to the Texans and some quotes that not only quotes from the Texans talking tough about their offensive line, but also some quotes from around the AFC South. And maybe we're not giving enough credence to some of these potential threats to the Texans in the division. That and more when the bullpen returns. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 here on a glorious Saturday in the city of Houston. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer here with you. And you can join us and weigh in on the conversation, anything Astros or Texans related we're talking about now. Or you want to answer our big question, which I'll lay out here in a second. You can weigh in on those as well. Both call and text on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can also reach us all on Twitter. I'm at SackByBMAC. Cam is at Clutch City Cam. And Johnny is at Third Coast Johnny. So I want to set up the big question of the day before we get into Texans and talk about some of the guys talking tough about their offensive line. But there's a clip we'll play at 1:15 when we expand upon the big question today and have some legs to really get into it. There was a news clip coming out of Rochester, New York. Have you seen it, Cam?
I don't believe I have.
Okay. Oh, you're in for a treat. You are in for a treat, sir. So just set it up quickly, and then we'll hear the audio, which makes it so much better. But a guy in Rochester, New York, was on the news because he thought he saw a mountain lion in his neighborhood. So in one of the clips you'll hear, he talks about fending off said mountain lion if he sees it again. So our big question of the day, what zoo animals do you think you could fend off with a baseball bat or less? Ooh. Now, we're striking out gorilla, and we'll get more into 1:15, so don't feel like you have to come up with your answer right now. But I'm striking off gorilla. I know that was a popular, you know, discussion a couple months ago, took over the internet, you know, 100 men versus gorilla. One man with a baseball bat, no, you're dying.
No.
I think you're also dying against a lion. You're dying against a tiger. I think those are the for sure ones.
And a rhino.
A rhino, you're dying. A hippo, you're dying.
For sure.
Yeah, rhino, the hippo, you're dying. Elephant is obviously big enough to kill you even with a baseball bat, but I don't know if you'd want to. But I guess we got to operate on the idea of it's trying to attack you. So elephant, you're dying. What about a zebra?
Hmm.
Now, Zebra, if it kicks you with his back legs...
I've been kicked by a horse.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to knock you out.
Yeah.
Question is, could you get to it with the bat before it turns around and kicks you with his back legs? You think you're agile and swift enough to be able to outflank the zebra and get to it in the front and avoid the back kicks?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't think so. We can save it for the
Yeah, we'll
save
more of this conversation for 115 again. But send in your submissions to the HRMP listener line at 713-780-3776. Again, the big question today, what animal attacks could you fend off? Zoo animals. I mean, of course you can fend off a grasshopper. Let's not go there.
Yeah.
But what zoo animals could you fend off with a baseball bat or less? Send in those again, 713-780-3776. All right, so Texans, talking tough. New Texans center Jake Andrews was on with Vandy and John Harris on Texans radio. And he had this quote you're about to hear about the Texans offensive line this year and protecting C.J. Stroud.
The ball is going to be run, I tell you that much. We're going to run the football. Taylor's doing a good job with putting all that stuff together. We're going to protect C.J. or whoever's back there. Mm-hmm. Try to make it us five up front. We're going to try to make it our life's work to not have anybody in his lap. Mm-hmm. Or touching him at all. We're going to pound the rock and we're going to air it out. We're going to keep people on their toes. And we're going to play tough physical football. And people are going to know when they wake up on Monday morning that they just got done playing the Houston Texans.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
Thank you, Dan Campbell. Well done, Johnny. Some tough words there from new Texans center, I think I say with a question mark in my inflection. Jake Andrews.
He seems to be the one getting the most run at it.
Yeah, which, I mean, doesn't say a lot about Juice Scruggs and Jarrett Patterson. Like, I thought coming into the season, Jarrett Patterson, after he took over in the second half of last year, was going to be your center unless they added someone in free agency or the draft, in which they didn't. But right now it seems to be leaning the way of Jake Andrews, who was a 2023 draft pick, was with the Patriots, hasn't really done much. So the first part of that quote that stood out to me is that at one point he says, we want to protect C.J. Stroud or whoever's behind center. What? Like, if C.J. Stroud's not behind center, it's because you didn't protect him.
Exactly.
He got knocked the F out, and now we're having to start Davis Mills. So I didn't love that part of the quote.
Long neck.
It's draft. Can you fend off a giraffe with a baseball bat?
No, can you fend off Davis Mills with a baseball bat?
Yes.
Yes, I could.
Yes, I could.
I think I could.
Yeah.
I think I could. Just hit him in the neck.
Ouch.
Yeah, he's done.
I might have to jump.
That's like 30% of his body is right there in the neck. I think,
true.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure half of his vital organs are in that neck. I can't confirm that.
If he was a little more hollow on the inside, he would definitely remind me of like those little wavy.
Oh, the wacky wavable inflatable T-bar man? Yeah, for sure. But getting back into this quote from Jake Andrews about people are going to know when they wake up on Monday morning they play the Houston Texans. Like, okay, cool. I mean, it's July. I to some degree, what else is he going to say? Man, we're going to suck.
Yeah.
So I don't want to kill him for it. But at the same time, like, I would take this quote, I think, more favorably if it was Cam Robinson saying it, if it was Titus Howard saying it. Like, someone who's done something in the NFL and played well in the NFL. Like, Jake Andrews was drafted 2 years ago, hasn't done a damn thing. And you're only projected to be the center because Juice Scruggs and Jarrett Patterson are mid. Like,
At best.
And I think mid more for Jarrett Patterson, not for Juice Scruggs. Yeah. Juice Scruggs might be less than mid. I can't give a whole lot of credence to tough talk, though, from Jake Andrews, who's never played for the team and hasn't done anything in the NFL. I don't know how you feel about that quote. But
no, I mean, I can appreciate what he's saying, but it's just like, again, look where we're at.
Yeah, show me on tape.
And also at the same time, it's like, well, yeah, literally every team you play is going to know that they played you the next day.
I thought that too.
So it also depends on if you win or lose. So,
I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, it'd be better if they didn't know because you're so physical, you beat the memory out of the game, out of their brains.
True, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so I'm not here to...
I actually had them wake up on Monday having no idea who they played.
Yeah, I'm not here to promote CTE, but I mean... If they're not remembering, then
I did come off as promoting CTE there, didn't I? I don't know if that's the look. I want to go for.
No.
Okay, we're going to move on. So some of the teams that could be or will be trying to overtake the Texans in the division, Maybe thinking they have something to prove. Maybe thinking they've been disrespected. Let's go first to Titans defensive line and pass rusher Jeffrey Simmons, who doesn't like to disrespect his quarterback. That's my quarterback. Cam Ward is getting in the media right now.
You know, first off, you know, I think that our team, Tennessee Titans, never get the respect and attention we need. I never seen a number one pick overall never get the respect and, you know, quite frankly, the attention that he deserved. But I think that's a chip on his shoulder. You could tell the way he go about his bidding, his swagger, his dominion. This is going to be one of the ones that, you know, I'm excited to see. I'm excited to get back to camp with him next week to be more around him and to learn a little more about him.
So that from Jeffrey Simmons, like the idea that the Titans aren't getting the respect, I know they made the AFC Championship game in the 2019 season when the Texans should have been facing them in that game, but they blew a 24-0 lead against the Chiefs. But
sir, you were 3-14 last year with a negative 149 point differential.
And what were they the year before? They couldn't have been over 500.
Let me check.
Yeah,
I'd love to.
Please pull up. I think was their last winning season?
Wow.
Okay.
Big improvement the year before. Yeah.
Big improvement.
Six wins.
Was their last winning season 2019?
Oh, I'd love to pull that up too.
He would like,
it wasn't 2022 because they were 7-10.
Uh huh. 2021.
Ooh. 12-5.
12-5, and that was 2021.
That was 2021.
So three straight losing seasons. Yeah, 2022.
Three straight
24.
Horrible losing seasons.
You were good when Derrick Henry was there, when Ryan Tannehill was your quarterback. They ain't walking through that door in Nashville, right? Look, Cam Ward, I think, was the right pick at number one. I think he will be good. But you can't demand respect before you've done something that deserves respect, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Cam Ward was good at Miami. I think he was the rightful number one overall pick. And they have a few pieces in there I like Calvin Ridley as a receiver. Tony Pollard's okay. I don't know. I wouldn't be in love with him being my lead back, but he's an okay running back. They've got some Jeffrey Simmons is a very good pass rusher. They've got some pieces there, but three straight losing seasons, you'll get respect when you earn it.
I mean,
literally,
there's no other way to word that.
No.
And I respect, I respect that you're going out and you have your quarterbacks back, but again, he hasn't played a snap in the NFL.
Yeah.
So why do you think that you deserve respect when you're 3-14 and you have a rookie quarterback?
Also, I don't know where he's coming from. Like, he says in the quote that he deserves more respect and that he's not being talked. And then at the very end, he says, I'm excited to get back to camp and learn more about him.
That's a good point.
He doesn't even know him that well.
Right, yeah. And now, I did have to cut out part of the quote for time because it's 2.5 minutes. But in there, he talks about, big part of it was he was talking about going fishing with Cam Bourne and how Cam thinks he can beat him in fishing, which, okay, cool. But one of the parts he used to bump up and promote, how good Cam Ward is, well, apparently they were talking trash. He got knocked on his backside. The next play through, he says, Jeffrey Simmons says, an 80-yard touchdown, which Cam Ward's got a big arm. He's not throwing the ball 80 yards in the air. Maybe it was a 30-yard pass, and the guy ran another 50 yards. Let's tell the legend, right? Let's go with the most heroic version of that story. It's still practice, not in full pads. We're not even training camp
yet. We're talking about practice, y'all.
Yeah, we're talking about practice. Thank you, Allen
y'all.
Iverson. But it's not even just practice. It's not even training camp practice. They're not putting the pads on.
No.
These are basically 7-on-7 drills he's talking about.
Yes.
And that's what you're basing on. Oh, we got to respect him more. I'll respect him more when he does it 11-on-11 in September and October and November and December.
Well,
and not January because they won't make the playoffs.
And to what you mentioned, he's the first-round pick overall.
Yeah.
So if I'm not mistaken, that means you're respected because you were the first player chosen.
Good point.
In the draft. And to what Johnny said, I haven't seen or heard any negative talk about Cam
either.
Ward.
What? I guess he just thinks he's not being talked about. I guess that's what he's viewing as disrespect, that they're just ignoring him. I don't know. I don't want to put words in his
mouth. Maybe he's trying to fuel some fire to this so-called Titans Texans little rivalry.
I'll say this: the only other rookie I've heard anything about is Judkins, and he was in the news for the wrong thing. So it's a good thing that your rookie is not being talked about at this moment.
Another rookie that gets a lot of conversation: Shedeur Sanders. That's also not usually a good thing with Shedeur for much different reasons. I'm not putting Judkins on him, obviously. Someone else that was drafted number one overall: Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence. I don't know where you. What do you think of his ability to possibly lead the Jaguars into challenging the Texans for the division? But Trevor Lawrence was on with the Barstool guys, Big Cat and PTI or a Pro Football Commenter, and talked about, you know, it's year five. He's got to start winning.
And yeah, I mean, like where I'm at in my career, year five, like it's time to go and start winning consistently and be not just that team where it's like, you know, you're always like no one really takes you seriously. You know, you want to be that team that's always competing for, you know, playoffs, Super Bowls, and you're in the hunt. You know?
Yeah.
So that's, of course, that's, I mean, I see it through that lens of like, yeah, it's year five. And, you know, I feel like this is like getting into my prime. Like I got a lot of good years left ahead of me and I need to really turn it on. And I think what we've built around me and what they've done this offseason has been a great start.
Hello. You play to win the game.
Oh man, that didn't sound like Trevor Lawrence there at the end. Was there an edit? I don't, Johnny, did you edit something there? Like Trevor Lawrence, was that Trevor Lawrence there at the end?
Yeah, I think he just does a good impersonation.
I just assumed it was him. He changes his voice. I guess that would be what an impersonation is. Way to explain the joke, Brian. But, I mean, I give Trevor Lawrence a pass to a degree because his coaching overall, really, but especially year one with Urban Meyer, has just been abysmal to start his career. He mentions, I think, in the clip, if not, it was a portion I cut off, but he's going to year five. He's on his third head coach. Like, that's obviously not ideal for the development of a young quarterback. And Urban Meyer might be one of the bigger train wrecks we've ever seen as far as an NFL coach in his one-and-done year with Trevor Lawrence as a rookie. So I give Trevor Lawrence a pass to a degree, but I don't like how he said. I mean, I think it's commendable for him to say, like, yeah, I got to play better. It's put up or shut up time. We can't be a laughing stock anymore. That's what he should say. I don't like that he's saying that I got to get serious now going into year five. Like, could you said that going into year three? Like, there was time to get serious even before this upcoming season.
There was time to get serious first year you played when you got drafted.
Well, I'll give them a pass for year one. No one was doing anything with Urban Meyer.
I mean, I'm not saying that he
was too busy hitting on co-eds at the bar.
Well, I'm not saying he should have won season year one. I'm saying the mentality of I need to start winning starts the moment you get drafted and you step foot on that pro level. Like, that's when the mentality of it's time to start winning hits. Not like
ideally. Ideally
4 years later, you know what, I think I'll start winning now.
If it was just that easy, you know, just snap of your fingers,
time to win.
Instead of waking up feeling dangerous, he woke up just time to start winning.
Today's the day.
Yeah. On his calendar, he rips off the previous day on his calendar and just says, time to start winning. Yep. It's like, all right, here we go. Duval! Like, it's just,
oh, God.
I imagine that's what he does when he gets up. You think every morning, like, it's, people say good morning to him, he just replies, Duval? Is that what people in Jacksonville do? Maybe we should call up RJ, see what he thinks.
I don't know what else they yell down there, so.
Good morning to you. Good Duval to you.
Oh, good Duval. Yeah.
Good Duval to you.
Good Duval.
Yeah, good Duval. of these two threats we've talked about, Titans, Jaguars, which one do you take more seriously? Which the answer may be neither. You're laughing, so I'm guessing the question is the answer is neither.
It's a funny question.
The Jaguars do have weapons. We got to at least give them that. I mean, Brian Thomas Jr., they draft, obviously, Travis Hunter.
Ingram.
No, Ingram's in Denver now.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, he's in Denver now.
Then, hey.
But Trevor Etienne, I don't know. Like, he was bad last year, but he was great the year before. Tank Bigsby, showed some flashes there. Like, they've got some weapons.
I would say,
I guess that's a spoiler. I take the Jaguars far more seriously.
Yeah, I would.
Like, if I were to ask the question, like, if the Texans don't win this division, who does? My answer would be the Jaguars.
Even before the Colts?
Yeah. Yeah. Anthony Richardson? No. I don't care he added senior to his last name. No.
They have Daniel Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good point.
He's older, whiter Anthony Richardson.
I would go it Jags over Titans too, but I don't think the margin is
not that great
as much because okay. we don't know what we're going to get out of Cam. Like if Cam has like a Jaden Daniels type season,
yeah, I don't.
Because I just I don't.
So I
don't,
I guess it's possible.
I don't think we're gonna like. I
don't see
like,
it.
To your
but...
point, like Trevor Lawrence, yeah, like you said, he's had three different head coaches, mm-hmm. and like, all right, I'm gonna go with the comparison that I know. Herbert had three different head coaches, four different offensive coordinators, but Herbert was putting up like record-breaking numbers. We have not seen Trevor Lawrence have a.
I want to say no, not a record-breaking year, but I think it was year three. He had a really like Doug Peterson's first year.
I think it was his second year. He had 25 touchdowns, and like eight interceptions.
He had a really good year. I think it was year three.
But it was like 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, eight interceptions, like a really good year. But he's never had a year where you're like, okay, he's the first overall pick. Like
that's fair.
No year.
No. He hasn't had a year that lived up to the hype for him for sure. As a two-time
and
national
it's just
champion,
like after 4 years. Is it
or is it one national championship at Clemson? I don't remember. He at least won one.
I think it was at least one.
I think he got to one and lost the other.
I think so.
That might be it.
Yeah. But it's just like
either way.
I feel like we've seen what Trevor Lawrence is gonna be. Like he's gonna be that quarterback that is gonna be outside of the top 10, inside the top 15 for his career.
Yeah. I think that's definitely the betting favorite. Like if I were to like gun to my head, have to wager where he is. It's probably a top 10 to 15 QB.
Yeah.
Couple texts before we go ahead and hit break on our big question of the day. From 5348, who's taking this far too seriously, or he's being sarcastic and I'm not getting the joke, but from 5348, so now we are promoting animal abuse. Settle
okay,
down.
Okay, FIFA.
Settle down.
Or not FIFA. FIFA.
PETA.
PETA. That's how you rarely know I use that word.
Settle down, FIFA.
Sorry, I have soccer on the brain.
Oh, yes, soccer matters. Tuesday and Wednesdays here on ESPN Radio.
Well, I was going to say I was playing some soccer yesterday with some of our summer kids.
Oh, okay. Another text coming in from 1420. His submission for the what zoo animals could you beat up with a baseball bat or less to survive? A bird with a baseball bat, shout out to the big unit.
Word.
Although he did that with the baseball.
And also, to the first comment, we
but
didn't say
not
that.
Not every bird. Like, there's some birds I don't agree that you could take out.
Oh, well, obviously, like, and you can't take out a bald eagle.
Well, no,
that's a felony.
Law. That's a felony, yeah.
But to the first comment, we're not saying that, like, we're pursuing the aggression.
Yeah, we're not
the
hunting them.
It's
we're
like,
saying if they attacked us.
Yeah, if we were in the zoo and they somehow got out and we were like, oh, a baseball bat, how convenient. What
you
animal
just
can
slowly
I...
pan to your right? Oh,
oh
a
weird.
Baseball
yeah.
bat. Thank you.
Yeah, we're not like looking to be aggressive towards the animal.
That's
we're
almost
just
like,
defending ourselves.
It's almost like every... I know you guys don't watch wrestling. It's always funny when they look under the ring. It's like, oh, there's a baseball bat with barbed wire wrapped around it.
Weird.
How convenient that's there. One more text before we go to break. From 2362... Koalas don't stand a chance against my bat.
Damn it. That was my one.
Oh, that was your?
Yeah.
I don't think we need the baseball bat against koalas, right?
No, and I also don't know
pretty
if koalas
friendly
ever attacked anything.
No, they're friendly and cuddly. I'd feel bad.
I mean, if you are caged up and you have all these weirdos looking at you and
changes the man.
You.
It changes the koala. Yeah. These bars, they mess with your mind, man. All right, we got to get out on the other side of the break. We'll get into... we'll maybe get into one more NFL topic and then our some of our leftover topics, including something Shedeur Sanders had to say, which I thought was a little bit crazy. That when the bullpen returns and more submissions for our big question of the day. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.